Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 11, as we continue our series of lessons from this third gospel. If you would, let's stand together, Luke chapter 11, verses 24 through 28, the title of our lesson today, The Worthlessness of Self-Reformation, beginning at verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day of blessing. This day of gathering together to sing songs of praise and to give back as you've given us. And now, Lord, to look into your word. May we be encouraged to remain faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Worthlessness of self-reformation. Reformation. It means renewal. An improvement, reconstruction, reorganization. It means reform. And reform means to change, to correct one's direction. I believe that as long as we have godly people in the United States of America, we could see reformation. We could see a change. But may I say this, the change must begin in the house of God. God's people must decide they want to see a change in their own lives and a change in our country. See, I believe we can become a great country once again. And I don't believe that being a rich nation makes us a great country. I believe what makes us a great country are gospel preaching churches. Preaching salvation by grace and grace alone. And I believe we can have that again, but we must once again have believers who were willing to be faithful to the house of God. Verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, the unclean spirit, a fallen angel. An angel is a messenger. And these angels carry one of two messages, either a godly message or a satanic message. And unfortunately, we are seeing satanic movement in our country today. We have more television programs that promote witchcraft and that style of life. And we find that we have more immorality portrayed today than ever before. And may I say this, immorality is satanic. That wasn't very strong there with an amen. And I know some of you, to say amen, you struggle with that. But say immorality is satanic. Amen. And we are seeing it in America, and we find that we are fighting against it, and oftentimes we are considered the bad guys. But angels are supernatural or heavenly beings, a little higher in dignity than man. Angels are created beings. Scripture does not tell us the time of their creation, but it was before the creation of man. They are described as spirits without a bodily organism, but they have often revealed themselves in bodily form to man. In fact, the book of Hebrews chapter 13 tells us that some have entertained angels unawares. Jesus said they do not marry and do not die. They therefore constitute a company, not a race developed from one original pair. Angels are always seen in the Bible in male form and never as youths. Although possessed of superhuman intelligence, they are not omniscient, and though stronger than men, they are not omnipotent. They are not glorified human beings. They are distinct from man, and humans never become angels. You know, I've heard someone say when a child has died, oh, they have become an angel. No, they haven't. According to the Apostle John, there was a vast number of them. And Revelation 5:11 says, I heard the voice of many angels, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Now, we don't know yet how many there are, but I'm going to say there are more than there are in this room today. They are of various ranks and endowment, but only Michael is expressly called an archangel. This great host of angels, both good and bad, is highly organized. Angels were created holy, but after a period of time, some fell from their state of innocence, following Lucifer, who it would seem was the greatest of angels, called the cherub that covereth. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, and we know that pride was his sin. Scripture is silent regarding the time and cause of their fall, but it is clear that it occurred before the fall of man. It was due to a deliberate, self-determined rebellion against God, as a result of which they lost their original holiness, became corrupt, and were confirmed in evil. It is believed that about a third of the angels followed Satan. May I make a note here, and I do hope that you will understand where I'm coming from. Jesus Christ did not come to redeem angels. A third of the angels fell, and they will spend eternity in hellfire. But he did not come to redeem angels. He came to redeem men and women. He came to seek and to save them that are lost. And you should thank God that he came to die for you. Some angels were cast down to hell when they were where they are held in chains until the day of judgment, while others were left free and they opposed the work of God. May I say this? It would not surprise me that if in this very room right now there isn't at least one fallen angel. That there isn't at least one unclean spirit. And you say, well, why? Because one of you brought it in with you. See, the problem is they want to influence us to do wrong. Now, I don't believe a believer can be possessed by an unclean spirit, but he can be directed and he can be tempted. And we must realize that they want to do the work of the devil. And his desire is always to separate us from the love of God. According to Ephesians 6:12, there are those with whom we wrestle in spiritual conflict. And we read that last week, that we are in a conflict not with flesh and blood, but with powers, and so on and so forth. The work of angels is varied. Good angels stand in the presence of God and worship him. They assist, protect, encourage, and deliver God's people. And I believe that there have been times in my own life when I believe that I have been protected by an angel. And so if you were to think back in your own life, there are probably times that you were protected and God sent one of his angels there to help you. Angels are mentioned many times in the life of Christ. A few of them, of course, are the announcing of his birth, encouraging him following the temptations of Satan, and then in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then, of course, when he rose from the dead and left the tomb, they told the disciples, he is not here, for he is risen. As for evil angels or spirits, it is clear that their principal purpose is to oppose God. and to try to defeat his will and frustrate his plans. The word Satan means adversary, and Scripture shows him to be the adversary of both God and man. And all of his names show his nefarious character, for he is the deceiver of nations. He is a deceiver. Evil angels endeavor to separate believers from God. They oppose good angels in their work. They hinder man's temporal and eternal welfare by tempting them to sin, the greatest of which is to deceive man into believing in the many false religions and doctrines and cults that are found in the world today. But note, they cannot exercise their will over you. An angel, an unclean spirit, Satan cannot make you sin. Some of you may remember the comedian that said, "The devil made me do it." That is not true. The devil can tempt you. The devil can bring temptations into your life, but he cannot make you sin. That is our choice, our will. Finally, Scripture shows that good angels will continue in the service of God in the future to come, while evil angels will have their part in the lake of fire. But again, here in Luke chapter 11, verse 24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, the unclean spirit is seeking another person to enter, but finds only dry places. He doesn't find a person that in which he can enter it. The maniac of Gadara, as you remember, was possessed by a legion of demons. But when they were commanded to come out of him, they did not go into some inanimate object. Evil spirits do not possess houses, or furniture, or cars. They possess living beings. Jesus says that he could not find what he wanted when he left, and he will return. Verse 25. And when he cometh, he is returned to where he left, he findeth it swept and garnished. Self-reformation. This person from whom the evil spirit left has done what it took to make himself look presentable. I remember a number of years ago, it was here on an evening. I'm not sure why I was here on this particular evening. I was sitting in the office when I heard the glass doors open. And I thought immediately, uh-oh, I forgot to lock the glass doors. And in a moment, there came a man into my office. Nobody had to tell me he'd been drinking. Nobody had to tell me when he said hello, you'd have known. And he tells me, he says, "I'm a sinner, I need to get saved." I called him by name. I said, "Sir, haven't you accepted Christ as your Savior before?" He says, "On many occasions." I said to him, "Well, you only need to be saved once. The problem is you keep allowing the sin to keep coming into your life." See, what happens is it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to walk as a believer. No, he says, "I need to get saved right now." And so he sat down and he prayed the sinner's prayer. And he said, "I'll never drink again." We won't go there. See, the problem is we can be saved, but we can, unfortunately, fall back into sin. And this man did again and again. But we find here that he looks good now on the outside. He is swept and garnished, as it were, his home, his body. That means he's decorated it up. He's made it look nice. James 4, 7 and 8 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We are to get things right with God so that we can resist the devil. You that are lost, you that have never accepted Christ as your Savior, you're in this battle without help. You that are saved, you're in this battle with a great help. God is on our side and he will give us victory. Verse 26. Then goeth he, that being the unclean spirit, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. At the last state of that man is worse than the first. The evil spirit returns, bringing with him seven friends. Today, being what is called Palm Sunday, or the day of the triumphal entry, we find that Jesus was welcomed into the city. He came in riding on an ass. We find that they put down palm branches and their clothing and they shouted glory to God. See, I have seen people get religious for a day or two or a week or two or a month or two. See, that's not what we need. We need not people who are religious. We need people who are committed to Christ. It could be that some of those same people that praised him and said, Hosanna, were the same ones that said, crucify him. America and our society, unfortunately, has not kept the evil out, but is now welcoming it. They are doing all they can to cast out the Bible, Christianity, and godliness. After all, we can't have the Ten Commandments in our courts of law. We can't have them in our schools. We can't have nativity scenes on government property. We can't have crosses on government property. Even today, our schools at one time that had their spring break at the time of Easter now can't have it at the Easter time because, well, it looks like we're doing it for religious reasons. What are we doing today? We are denying what once made us a great country, that being Christ. But the problem is when you take out Christianity, when you remove the Bible, you have to put something in its place. You put something in the void. And what are we putting in the void? I have a list of things. I got 9 minutes. If I take 10, don't be upset at me. Number one is possessions. We have become a having society. I have to have it. Entitlement has become the standard. I deserve it. I must have it. It is creating chaos in our society. Ponder this. In 1960, there was no such thing as public storage in America. You know what public storage is? There was no such thing as public storage in America in 1960. Today, there is over 2 billion square feet dedicated to it. A culture driven by commercialism leads to dissatisfaction and emptiness. We have a society of want versus need. We say the problem with America today is the economic situation, when in reality it is a moral issue. We have become an immoral nation. What have we replaced Christianity with? We've replaced it with government. One out of six people in America today is on some form of assistance. One in six is on some form of assistance. We have become more and more socialistic. We expect someone else to take care of us. The term from the cradle to the grave rings out. Government is not the answer, folks. What have we filled the void with? Well, we have filled it with entertainment. It comes in all forms. Some of you remember when we had channels 2, 4, 7, 9, and 50. Do you remember that? 2, 4, 7, 9, and 50. And that was sufficient. Do you remember what time it went off at night? 11:30, somewhere after the news, maybe noon. What do we have now? How many hundreds of stations? They're 24/7. We are entertaining our kids right into the pit of hell. The internet. You can get on the internet, and before you know it, you've spent how many hours? We've gone to sport events. How many of you remember when on Saturday there was one college football game? One college football game. Now we have them Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday night and Saturday by the gobs, and then the professionals come in and we have all kinds of them, and that doesn't include hockey and basketball and baseball and all that goes on. Whoever thought the day would come in which they would have poker on television, and people spend hours watching poker? And what about tennis and golf and all that goes with it? We have become entertained. And what about the gambling, casinos, the lottery, entertainment? We have youth activities in every imaginable thing. How many miss church because some contest, some event, some program is scheduled on a Sunday? Entertainment. My next thought is alcohol and drugs. We live in a no-pain society, a society that's trying to escape reality. And so we have removed Christianity, we've removed the Bible, we've removed the church, and we put in these other things, trying to fill the void, and we're still empty. And then what about immorality? Remember a number of years ago, some woman sang the songs, "Girls Just Want to Have Fun." But I don't think they were talking about playing Monopoly. We live in a society of lewd dress and behavior. We live in a society that says, if you got it, flaunt it. What do we have today? Shallow people, full of entertainment. I heard one mother say this about her daughter's dress: "I can't find anything else." That's like saying, "I couldn't find anything to drink but beer, so I drank it." How about purity? Abstinence. In many cases, it's mocked and laughed at. But I believe this: God wants our teenagers to be pure. He wants our teenagers to be abstinent until they get to heaven. I believe this, that God's gift to marriage is the physical relationship between husband and wife. And to have it anywhere else other than marriage is to be a shoplifter, to be a thief. I read this the other day. Someone says you can't judge another's lifestyle because there's no ultimate sense of what is really right and wrong. See, that's the result of evolutionary teaching, that there is no God. That we are here by happenstance, that we went from mud to molecules to us. And so we have filled ourselves with many things, but you know, we've also filled ourselves with religion. I read this: Christianity can't be the only way to God because Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, and Jews are all as sincere in their faith as Christians are. I said this last week: billions are sent to hell because of religion. Billions are taught, if you are good enough, God will let you in. You don't find that in the Word of God. Nowhere does it say if you are good enough, if your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll be allowed into heaven. There's only one way into heaven, and that is when you're covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you're not covered by the shed blood of Christ because you're an American, or that because you went to church all your life. It's because you accepted Christ as your Savior. It's when you said to Him, Lord, I am a sinner. I need to be saved. Please save me. But how many are into angels and crystals? That won't get you into heaven. Notice verse 28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. Jesus said, follow me. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. Have you picked up your cross and followed him? Do you know him as your Savior? If you've tried to fill the void with something else, you will be disappointed. But the Lord waits for you to come to him. Shall we stand together? Our invitation song is 395, There's a Great Day Coming. I believe there is a great day coming. And to you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that great day could be very soon. But there's also a sad day coming to those that don't accept him and are told to depart. I hope you have made your peace with God. I hope you have come to that point when you realized, I need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. I hope that this is the day, if you haven't, that you will turn your heart to him. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. Lord, we pray that the Spirit would move, that hearts could be made right, that victory could be seen here, that there could be joy in heaven over one repenting of their sin. Bless, we pray, this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.